I'm John Bollinger. We're in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm with Chris Robinson of the Chris Robinson Brotherhood. Chris, thanks for joining us,
All right, nice to be here.
Hey, let's talk about some of your gear.
Let's do it. Well, this is all of my gear. What do you mean some of it? You're looking at the whole kit and caboodle.
Where do you want to start?
This is it. This is Operation Rhythm Guitarist for the CRB. Well, I mean, I guess we could start with the main... The main thing here is my divided by 13, my head, and my divided by 13. I just moved to the 412 cabinet recently, actually, after 5 years now. We sat down and had a vote, and it came back positive. I had to go through everyone else to make sure I could move up.
Oh, really?
To two more speakers.
They didn't trust you with
the... No, it's not really, it doesn't really work that way. Might be a brotherhood, but it's definitely not a fascist state, you know. Maybe sometimes on the record player. But.
Right.
But, you know, the thing about these divided by 13s, I mean, we were really lucky. Our former bass player, Muddy, grew up in Orange County. So he knew Fred and everyone at divided by 13. Well, he knew Fred, and we kind of got our feet in the door and hit it off that way. And I think, you know, for me... And to move to this cabinet, you know, I mean, well, I've been looking for really, I mean, and then we can look at my effects. I mean, what I'm looking for as a rhythm player is just, I like it to be clean, you know, and I like being able to have some volume, but for it to stay clean, you know, I'm coming into the guitar thing sort of backwards, you know. I didn't spend all those years learning Eric Clapton licks and Jimi Hendrix licks and stuff like that. So. On one level, it's cool with me because it gives me a different way to be expressive. But in another way, it also like allows me to maybe do some things that other guitar. You know what I mean? I don't have the same guitarist's mindset, which helps. But then again, like I said, you know, every day for me is a guitar lesson. You know. But and then I guess the other like real part of my sound is my Vox Passage custom. This guitar is called the Peace Pipe.
Now this is your signature guitar?
Well, Vox had made this series called the Visage, but I wouldn't say it's a real, like they just made me this one. I mean, I have actually two, but this is the one that I've been playing the last 5 years.
Great. Very Jerry Garcia. It's awesome.
Well, yeah, you can't have enough Jerry. I'm just crazy about the Grateful Dead.
Yeah. Who isn't?
Yeah, but you know, I mean, like I said, I mean, this guitar, I was actually, a couple of years ago, I sat in with Further, and Bob Weir gave me a Les Paul to play. And he goes, oh, here, just play this. And the guitar had quartz crystal frets, and I really like them. So this guitar has them as well.
Wow.
So those frets are quartz crystals.
Wow.
Installed by Captain Flashback in
Colorado. That's amazing.
And James Troussard actually put together my little plate there for me.
Oh, beautiful.
As a gift to Rich Lasner, who is the luthier of this guitar.
Wow. And yeah, I love that inlay there. That's great.
By Alan Forbes, the Peace Pipe, hence the name. So I'm super lucky again, you know, I mean, for me to have, you know, someone make something really nice and, but again, something that's a little different than, you know, I'm sure a more conventional guitar player would pick that guitar up and they like hand it right back, you know. Like.
Yeah.
And that's possible Dust Clouds are Owl. He's he's getting in on this weather. He's in the union, don't worry.
And then, so that's your number one, and...
This is my number one. My number two is a mid-70s Les Paul.
Wow, great.
Purchased in Austin, Texas, I don't know, a while ago, probably 10, 12 years ago. And, I don't really get a lot of use out of this guitar, but I love the mini humbuckers. They're a little bit different. You
right.
know? It's the same thing with the Visage, you know, the Vox guitar. That's their pickup, you know, so... Mm-hmm. I have the ability to have like, you know, a P90 or a straight humbucker with the flip of a switch, which is nice, you know?
Yeah.
Because it really, they don't really either sound like exactly like either one. And again, those are things to me that always benefits my playing. You know, I don't need a classic Strat sound or I don't need a classic, you know,
right.
because I'm onto some other stuff just, or at least I think I am.
Yeah.
But I love this guitar as well, you know, and it's practical and,
Yeah, beautiful, man. High miles. That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, totally. You know, that's the thing is, as I the more I play and stuff, it's funny, I keep thinking it would be nice to have something else, but then whenever I think that, then I do, this guitar shows me something that I was like, oh, I don't want to put it down.
Right, you know? Right. Very cool. Well, let's talk about this pedal board.
All right, be prepared to be underwhelmed. This will be the easiest one you've ever done.
Right. Yeah, next to Neil.
I mean, Neil's is like, you know, you have to do a 30-minute, like, primer introduction.
Right.
You know, episode. You know, really simple. Again, you know, like, I'm, you know, I inevitably it would expand probably, but I've had more stuff. But, I mean, ideally, I have my carbon copy for a little ambiance, if
sure.
you will. This love pedal is what I've been using for my fuzzy overdrive. But what I really like about the love pedal is it's really smooth. You know what I mean? It's not too aggressive. So it doesn't have that same, you know, I don't really need to overpower anything, but I like to be able to access some fuzziness.
Sure.
And then my Model H is what I use as a cleaner overdrive. Almost, I guess, maybe just one bigger than like a tube boost, you know. And then my double Decca, which I don't see too many of those.
I've never seen one.
Vox made this a few years ago. Huh. And
is there a tube in that? Or?
No, it just looks cool.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, okay, cool.
Which, you know, it's really like, it really appeals to the, you know, to me, science fiction should only look the way science fiction looked in 1971. Anyway,
right,
you know.
The golden age, yeah.
But it's funny, so, you know, it's Vox made this pedal a few years ago. I don't really see them. But again, just a little different, you know? Just a little different thing. And I used to have more, you know, Neil and I were door-to-door delay pedal salesmen for a little while, you know. Let us in. But now, I just keep it super simple. And, you know, like I said, I'm just, you know, I know what my role is, you know what I
right.
mean? Especially when we're, you know, I mean, it's one thing to, you know, like, you have to be able to, I mean, for me, it's the same sort of mentality of having one guitar. And not, I mean, Neil now changed to B-Bender in his Tele. But, you know, for the years we've been doing this, it's like, you know, I've played one guitar all night. You know, if something happens and you switch guitars, and then you switch back, you know.
Yeah.
So to be able to access as many things with the least amount of stuff, to me, is kind of the most, you know, pragmatic way of looking at it. That goes hand in hand with what our band's about, you know. Like, we are like the hunter-gatherers of like the modern day touring world and music business, you know, like we can, you know, be responsible for our community and utilize everything around us to its greatest potential, how that will help us, you know, and we do that economically, sonically, we do that fiscally when it comes to like the business and I think we do that creatively as well, you know what I mean? Because it all ends up, stuff doesn't get too far out, and if you can keep all your sort of energy focused into one ball, a lot of stuff happens in there, you know? So it's kind of all hopefully fits into this bigger thing, you know?
Yeah, I get it, man. And the last ingredient is that phase 99.
Oh yeah, sorry. I mean, I take it for granted, my little phase 99.
Yeah.
I love the phase 99.
Yeah, what is the difference between that and the 90? I guess it's got more.
Yeah, and they're dual, you know what I mean?
So oh,
you, yeah,
and you
that's can change
it.
The speeds on both of them.
Oh,
know?
I get it, okay.
So you have, you know, instead of just one, and then you can have them in stereo.
Oh,
know?
Very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, then, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so you have just a little more opportunity to have them. I don't keep them out of phase like that, but.
Yeah, that's good.
I use the phase a lot. I mean, I know it's,
oh,
it's probably sound like a Waylon Jennings record, you know.
Which
I mean?
Is awesome.
Yeah, so, or a Rolling Stones record,
yeah, right.
or whatever, you know,
yeah,
from
like
a certain era.
Some
you know?
Girls and yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. Beast of Burden, yeah, all that stuff. Yeah. That's great. It's great.
And Doug Somm used it quite a lot too. Everyone yeah. did. I don't know, yeah. there's something stony about it and mm-hmm. you know, again, that fits into our But you know, it's like anything else. You know, you play, you know, you have that, and then sometimes you just play nothing, you know, straight into the amp, or, you know, like we're going into the studio in January, and we've already discussed, like, you know, one of the rules is no one can bring any of this time. You can only bring instruments and things we've never used on a recording.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow, that's...
And then just to, you know, we, and then, you know, like, conceptually it's going to be a more wooden sort of acoustic kind of concept anyway, which is we haven't done. But I thought, yeah, man, you know, like, you can't touch anything that we've played on any of our records.
That's cool. Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah, just to see it bring some different vibes.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Well, Chris, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Right on.
Huge fan.
I appreciate it.
Pound for pound, I think you're the finest rock and roll singer. I don't know, you're in my top three.
Thanks, handsome. I appreciate that. Right on. Yeah. Have fun in Neil's world.
Yeah, right.
It's going to go a lot longer than this.
It's going to be like a five-part BBC special. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Have a good one. Thank you, guys.
Hey, now we're with Neil Casale. Neil, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much. Good to see you again, John.
Yeah, again, right. We have an interesting history. We were in a fake band together.
We were
in Gwyneth Paltrow's band.
Back in the old Country Strong days.
Yeah, good days.
2010, Nashville was a different place then, really.
Yes.
It's changed a lot, hasn't it?
Changed a lot. Real estate's changed, music's changed.
It's all changed. And our fake band had to break up, sadly.
You've been on to better things.
Yeah. And you too, I see.
Hey, well, enough about that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about these guitars, man.
Let's do it. As you know by talking to Chris, we're very serious about our equipment here at the CRB, yeah. So it's good that you're here today. Yes, yeah. Let's talk about gear.
Yeah, how about this guy?
Yes, I can tell you all about it. This guitar was made by a guy named Scott Walker. He's in Santa Cruz, California. An incredible luthier, a true craftsman, great guy, and I cannot recommend his work highly enough. This guitar kind of changed my guitar playing life, honestly.
Wow.
I was playing, you know, kind of normal guitars before this, but being in the CRB, playing long shows, and I've never played so much guitar as I have in this band, so I learned a lot in our first couple years on the road, playing playing 3 hours a night. It demands a lot. It demands a lot more from me than anything I've ever done. So I found that I needed certain things that I couldn't get from other guitars. So Scott built this for me. It has all kinds of coil tapping capabilities and.
All those crazy switches and mysterious.
Yeah, but they're very easy to figure out, really. But and it has an onboard effects loop.
Oh wow!
Which I'm not using now because my cable broke, but I use it a lot, and it's a beautiful guitar. It just plays well, and even though it's fancy looking, it's very much a working man's guitar. And it's solid.
Yeah, beautiful, man. I love it. Again, kind of that Jerry Garcia vibe. It's really cool.
Well, actually, this guitar was inspired by a guitar called Wolf.
Yeah,
Right, which is, was Jerry Garcia's first custom guitar. And Chris and I had a chance to play it a few times.
Really?
Yes.
What the?
A friend of ours, we have occasional access to that guitar, and we've had a chance to spend some time with it, and when I played it, I really learned a lot from that instrument, and it inspired a lot of the features on this guitar. Very different guitars, really. They're not the same wood or anything, but some of the electronics, certainly the, effects loop, was inspired by that, and I used to think all of those things wouldn't be for me, you know, but they're actually very practical, usable features on a guitar that's, you know, since I've kind of gone that route, it's just, like I said, changed and broadened my guitar playing life in a way that I, you know, if you'd even told me 5 years ago, that I was going to do all this. I, you know, would have said you're crazy. But, you know, when you stay open to things, things can change in a nice
right.
way. So,
yeah.
yes, this is inspired by Wolf, partially. Yeah, and Scott Walker, a wonderful luthier.
Well, I love it. Do you know what kind of pickups those are?
Sure. These are Lahler High Wines. That's a Lahler as well. And yeah, with this push-push knob, I can split those coils. This switch here controls the middle pickup alone, so you can, it's either
oh,
off.
Cool.
Yeah, it's either off.
Cool.
Or all the way up is, we have some, the elevator here. Excellent.
Lily,
do you mind? this, in the up position, the pickup is by itself. Which I use.
Oh, yeah, cool.
This pickup is isolated. I use it quite a bit, actually, because
it's
such a nice sound. And then in the middle, it joins with everything else. So you can have both humbuckers on with this, but if you split the humbuckers, now you have three single coils.
There had to be a bit of a learning curve when you got
that. There is, there is. But now, you know, I've played this guitar every day for 3 years, and you know, in the CRB, we play a lot of shows, we play many hours, and which I could never imagine going back from at this point in my life. But this guitar gets quite a lot of hours put into it. I know how it all works now. And I actually, you know, while I'm singing, I'm making these changes, you know, push all these things, and I don't even really think about it much anymore. But for a while, it was a learning curve, sure. So yeah, I mean, it can be like a humbucker here or a Strat, you know, typical, typical stuff.
And that's a three-way?
That's a three-way, yeah, it is. And let's see, this is all, this is a booster. It actually has,
oh wow,
it's a, like, you know, it's kind of, yeah, it's like a boost pedal on your guitar. it's good. I've found it very useful when I've sat in with people where I don't get to have my pedals.
Right,
actually, yes. Amazingly, I still can't believe this, but Derek Trucks asked me to sit in with them with Tedeschi Trucks one night a couple years ago.
What a great band. That's great.
Yes, and it was an incredibly intimidating situation having to play guitar standing next to Derek Trucks. Like I said, I still can't believe that it happened, but it did. And when it did, I had to play through one of his Super Reverbs, beautiful sounding amp, but I, you know, it was no sound check.
Right.
Just come out on stage and go, and I had no pedals. And I don't use this booster a lot, but in that situation, it absolutely saved my life because I had to solo and kind of step up from the rhythm sound. And I hit that switch, and it sounded great, and it just gave me a little push over the cliff that I needed. so that's good. And this is a buffer. That works with the effects loop.
Oh, wow.
You kind of have to have that on when you're using the effects loop. You know, I don't, so that's that. And this is actually a volume for the booster. That's pretty cool.
Right.
This is the push-push that turns on, that engages the effects loop. And I think Garcia started the effects loop thing for the envelope filter.
Oh, right.
Because the envelope filter is so sensitive, and there's the way it interacts with the onboard effects loop, you can really get the envelope filter to do what it's supposed to do. I use the envelope filter very seldomly, you know, because kind of Garcia owned that sound, and you have to be very careful.
Yeah, that's a tough tone to like identify. Like, I never knew what he was doing for years.
You know? Right. Well, a lot of it had to do with the effects loop on the guitar, and also the JBL speaker. His rig was really built
complex.
For that. Right. But you know, he kind of, I don't do that very much. But where I find that the effects loop is really useful for me is for fuzzes and overdrives, because it puts your effects pre-volume knob.
Oh, cool.
Meaning, and I'm not a volume pedal person. I don't get along with them, I don't use them. So I'm an old timer using the volume knob on the guitar to do you know, all of our work. But what's cool, having the effects loop, is that like for fuzzes, which are often so hard to control. And when you step on a fuzz, you're afraid about how they, I'm always afraid about how they just kind of blast through the mix,
right.
You know. And with this, the effect, the quality of the effect never changes with your volume. So a lot of times when you're using overdrives, fuzzes, and you turn your volume knob down, it all changes
right.
and disappears.
Yeah.
With the effects loop, the effect never changes. So you can have a, you know, a blaring fuzz at very low volume on your guitar, and you can kind of mix your mix it in by yourself.
That's cool.
So that's where I find that to be useful.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
So, all right,
nice
man.
Guitar.
Yes. Awesome guitar. Okay.
Scott Walker, go check him out.
Okay, this Telecaster seems a little lackluster by comparison, but let's talk about it anyway.
The Telecaster is a newer, it's only a couple years old, but what's great about this guitar is that it has a B bender.
Yeah, so, you know what, let's plug that thing in.
Sure, let's plug in the B bender.
Can I give you this?
Yes, you
let me just roadie for you for a minute.
And the B bender, you know, it's a tough thing to wrangle, and I am certainly no expert.
Totally addictive, you know.
It's addictive, and if you're a Clarence White fanatic like I am, you know, it's a beautiful thing to at least attempt, you know.
Right, right.
So yeah, I mean, it's a B bender. It you know, it mimics the, or well, it's. Simulates a pedal steel in a way, but is really its own thing entirely.
Yeah.
So, you know, it bends your B string up a step, right? So that's what it does. I'm not going to play too much.
Yeah.
But I usually need a song to be happening for me to do this
right.
well. But,
yeah, they're awesome. That's and what a great tone, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
So it's a new guitar, but it sounds beautiful, actually.
It sounds great, yeah.
And I thought, you know, oh, I'll change the pickups and do all this stuff, but there's really no need. It sounds good the way it is, and it works well through this rig. I'm considering refinishing it, but we'll see.
Yeah, very cool. So you live on that one for the most part, and then jump on this when you want.
Yes,
that
there's
thing.
A particular song in our set these days where I can really use this. It's just sort of slower country, inflected kind of birds-ish thing where I can use this well. And I'm taking my time with the V-Bender. It's a precious thing, you know, you can't abuse it.
Right,
so
right.
I find that a few good slow bends, well-timed, goes a long way instead of trying to be a virtuoso in this thing, which is you know, not going to happen for me. So, but it's a beautiful, emotional, expressive thing, as
right.
you know, being a pedal steel player, right?
Yeah, and it's such a great flavor to have in your band, you know, just to be able to pull
it is,
out.
Yeah, and I'm such a, you know, I'm so into the birds, and I'm so
right.
into the West Coast country rock, and you know, that it's an authentic like place for me to explore.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, speaking of tone.
Let's talk about
this amp.
Let's talk about it. This head is a Divided by 13 amp, Southern California. A great guy named Fred makes these amps. I think a lot of people have them now. I cannot say enough good things about this amp. I got this amp around the same time, 3 years ago, that I got the Scott Walker guitar.
Oh.
And the two things together just raised my level, you know, entirely, you know, together. It's a great combination. This is a 100 watt head, which is an awful lot of wattage. If you can see that this is about where I run it every night on about 2.
Right.
So it's really only idling, you know. Sometimes when we play festivals, bigger stages, I'll get it up, you know, where it should be around 4. But it's, and there's two sides to the amp. One side is, it could remind you of a Showman. just a clean Fender-ish thing.
Sure.
And I use that primarily. The other side may remind you of like a super bass, a Marshall kind of thing. I run them the sides together sometimes. That's really powerful. But it's just a very simple amp. You know, there's no reverb in this amp.
Yeah.
I've learned from some of my amp maker friends that, I'm sure it's not the rule, but as far as what I'm after, the more stuff you put in an amp, the worse it will sound. So
yeah, you know, that seems...
I mean, I'm sure there's going to... the emails are starting already. I'm sure that this will get a lot of disagreement, but like I say, for what I am after,
right,
that's proven to be the case. So this amp is just your normal bass, mid-range, treble and volume. It's very simple and clean sounding, and I let the pedals really do the rest of the shaping.
Sure, this gives you a really nice platform.
Yes, a nice clean, that's well said. Yeah. A nice clean platform is what I go for.
Yeah.
And then let your touch and attack.
Right.
You know, and with amps like this, you know, they're made for that. The harder you hit, you know, and if you have the right speakers, your combinations, it will give you more drive, and then when you back off, it'll clean up a little bit. So,
yeah, it sounds really responsive. And speaking of the right speakers, this is the coolest cabinet.
This is a cool cabinet indeed. This is, I'm thinking it's probably between 70 and 72 Marshall 412. Red, you know, it's an old beater, the real deal. And I think this is pre-72 because there are metal handles I think after 72 they went to plastic. So and I got this from a friend of mine who played in bands in Hollywood in LA for years, and this is like a true kind of LA band beater artifact, rock and roll, true rock and roll artifact. This amp was owned by the Motels.
Very cool.
It's in the classic white lettering back there. So
I love that.
Yeah, and at the moment there's greenbacks in this cabinet, not original speakers. I go between those and select. I like creambacks too, the 65 watt versions.
Sure.
These break up a little bit early for me, but very sweet sounding. I should also mention too, this is another key component of my sound. It's made by Brad Sarno. It's called a Black Box. It says steel guitar Black Box because Brad is a steel player, and he developed it originally for pedal steel, but it works great on guitar. It's a tube buffer.
Oh.
And it's just really, it's subtle, but dramatic, the effect that this has on my whole chain. It just sweetens everything, and it matches impedance with everything else. Huh. I'm not explaining that well, but when you have a big pedal board, it's very good to put in front of that. Huh. So.
Yeah, all that stuff's kind of a mystery to me. Anyway, I'm not sure how all that jazz works.
Yeah, I know a little bit, but it's, yeah.
Well, it sounds great, yeah. Whatever that mojo is.
This is great. And this has this very Z control, which is an impedance thing that when it's all the way this way, it's as if it's not on, but you can actually dial back high end with this.
Oh, cool.
Without having to go to your treble, knob, and like when I go to the Telecaster, sometimes they bite a little too hard, and I kind of roll back some of the highs here.
You kind of tweak as you go.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. I apologize, guitar people who understand all of this. But I use it instinctually, but yeah, this is a key thing, especially having all these pedals.
Hey, before we get to your pedals, tell me about this, your backup amp.
Sure. Well, it's an amp that I use quite a bit. It's this is The name is not on there, but it's called a Booyah. And a guy in New Jersey named Jamie Simpson makes these amps. Uh-huh. It's 100 watts, a beautiful sounding amp too. I use it regularly for, you know, gigs and for recording. And yes, there's a few more things going on with this amp. There's a master volume in it, and there's a high cut there. And that switch in the middle is a mid boost, but it's basically, it's still a very simple, very clean sounding amp and a beautiful one. So yeah, it's good to give Great. Jamie a shout out too.
Right. Well, and every tube, everybody who tours a tube amps knows you need a backup.
Yeah. Just and this is certainly, you know, well beyond backup quality. That's for sure. It's, I don't know. It's, you know, it's a toss up. These are both really great amps that I can use at any time. So, you know.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about this pedal board.
Okay. Let's see. Let's talk about the pedal board. Well, the pedal board started, you know, as the best things do, out of necessity.
Sure.
You know, once again, like playing hundreds of shows every year, putting in so many hours, you know, you find out what you need and what you don't, what you're missing,
right,
what you wish for. Being in the golden age of pedal design now, because we really are in the golden age.
I mean, right,
things have never been better than they are now when it comes to pedals. You know, when we were growing up in the 80s,
right,
it was, there was no internet. There was very little information about pedals. There were very few pedals.
Right. When I moved to Nashville, I didn't even have any pedals.
Right.
I mean, I didn't.
Yeah, know? I had very few as well. Yeah. You know, I had the first pedal ever I got was the Boss, the red or the pink delay. What's it, the DM2, you know?
Yeah.
I had one of those. It's funny that they're so sought after now. That was the first pedal I ever had in probably like 1984. And I had like a Chorus and a couple little things, but you know, cables weren't great then.
Right.
Powering them up, it was batteries. It was just, at least for me and my very limited knowledge, it was so hard to, you know, to get it together regarding pedals. There was no way to find out, you know, what they sounded like. And this continued. It got better in the 90s, certainly, but it continued that way. You know, for a long time, and jump to now, we're just in a truly a golden period.
Oh, right.
As far as pedals go, there are so many people doing such high quality work, innovative stuff, and we have unlimited ways of finding out what they do. You know.
Right.
So that's why we're here.
Yeah, I mean, that's why.
This is
like
what
all
is.
You people in interweb land.
Right, but it's it's important to like kind of know the evolution or the history of how.
Yeah.
You know, for people like me and you, when we were younger, we didn't have this kind of information.
Right.
So I was the same. I never really used pedals at all, and now I use lots of them, and I really enjoy them, and I find that if you have a foundation in not using them, you know, learning to play really with your hands and not relying on pedals like I did for so long, now they can be a part of my world without dominating anything or affecting my foundation as a player. So
sure.
It's really just, it's just so liberating to have all of this stuff. So this pedal board, after going through a couple years of choosing what worked for me, what I thought sounded good, and believe me, a lot of things, phaser, you know, I tried like dozens of each kind of pedal and whittled them down to what I wanted. I had a guy named Jordan Rigg, J Rigg Pedal Boards, make this for me. Let's see. And I have also a Road Rage, looper, you know, the true bypass looper.
Cool.
Which really helps so much on so many levels. But I will start.
What's your basic flow like?
Sure. The flow. Well, I'll just go through them.
Yeah.
This is a wah, but it's a bass wah. I actually really like the sound of bass wah on guitar, because it's more like a filter, envelope filter kind of thing, but you can control it. A normal wah in my under my feet just turns into a Hendrix classic rock nightmare that nobody wants to hear. I don't do well with those. But the bass wah, Dunlop bass wah, is really great on guitar for me. So there's a few companies too of pedal builders that I gravitate towards. You'll notice here.
Sure.
And one of them is Barefoot Effects.
Yeah. They're great.
Yes, they are really great. Quality, high quality, all the way through. That really works for me. So this pale green compressor, I can't live without it. It's so great sounding. I just don't even know what to say. It's very subtle.
Yeah, it seems like you have your compression fairly subtle and just kind of a little bit of boost.
It's just
in the
a little bit of a boost, yeah. And you know, compressors, when they get too complicated for me, I have a hard time understanding it. But this I get, and it works great. This Proton is an envelope filter, you know, that does the quack sound.
Right.
It sounds fantastic to me, and it's a small footprint, which is great, you know.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the old Mutrons and stuff, they were really big.
Yeah.
And, you know, another thing to be said about this pedal board is that it had to be built very efficiently, because a lot of times, you know, I'll have to set this thing up myself. I mean, we have some great guys on our crew, but we move fast a lot of times when we play festivals, and there's bands, you know, tearing on and off the stage, and sometimes I'll have to do it myself. And this thing had to be built very solidly for that purpose.
Right.
You know, there's really nothing hanging off of this board. It has to all be in one thing. So the, you know, the footprint of these pedals is kind of important. There's another Barefoot pedal. The Honey Beast Overdrive is kind of a little hotter drive that sounds fantastic to me. That there is a Klon clone.
Oh, the big white one right
there? The big white one here, yeah, that I got from someone in Korea on eBay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How is it?
It's the only one that I've ever heard that I've liked. I actually,
really?
Yeah, I have an original gold Klon that
had
for like 16 or 17 years
that
I don't have on my board anymore, because I used it for so long and I always turned the knobs with my feet, and it still works well, but it's getting fragile.
Yeah,
so.
And they're so expensive.
They're very expensive now, yeah. Yeah, you know, I bought it for $300 when it came out, or in the late 90s, and that was an exorbitant amount to pay for a pedal then. Now it's not, but that's the only one of the Klon clones I've ever heard that I that resonates with me. Great sounding pedal.
It's cool you can AB that to the original and actually make that
decision. And actually it doesn't really even, funny enough, it doesn't sound that much like the original, but it does something Klon-like and has other qualities that my original doesn't. So
cool.
That's cool, yeah. All right, another company, another pedal builders that I work with a lot, who I love their stuff, is Earthquaker Devices.
Right, they're great.
Yes, great. Kind of everything that I hear from them, I like. That Terminal Fuzz, for me, I can't live without it. It's in many ways the best, most usable, band mix-friendly fuzz that I've ever heard. It's very controllable, and it can get really just raucous and nasty sounding, but there's a pleasing curve to it, so that it mixes well with other instruments and doesn't interfere with singing and stuff like that. So I love that fuzz a lot. Let's see here, another Barefoot pedal, the Baby Pink Booster, just a subtle boost. About the best one that I've found. That's great. And now I have a tremolo by Chase Bliss.
Oh, yeah.
Called the Gravitas. And I think Chase Bliss are a newer company.
Yeah, they're great.
Yes.
Does that get a tap on it as well?
It has. Yes, the Chase Bliss pedals are really cool. I'm just getting into them. Very innovative. All of their pedals have tap functions.
Yeah.
Which for a tremolo, and they're analog pedals with digital brains.
Right.
Someone else could explain that better than me. There's no need for me to attempt it now.
You get the idea. Yeah.
You get the idea. Yeah. And you can always, you know, research it. I'm sure all of us pedal geeks are.
Yeah.
But the thing, the important thing about Chase Bliss pedals is they sound great.
Yeah.
They just sound beautiful. They sound well mixed with other pedals. They sound good in your chain. That's something, it's something you can only discover as you go and playing in real time with the band.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pedals that sound amazing on their own, but when you mix them actually with a group,
right,
you know, they change. So
it's, yeah,
for me, it's the things that that pass the test when I'm standing next to a drum kit and another guitar player, Chris, and I have keyboards to my right, and there's, you know, there's a PA blasting to the front of the room, and there's people in front of you, and there's different conditions, different things happen when you're in that environment, and that's where pedals either, you know, prove themselves to work for me or not. So
yeah, you know, that's a cool thing about this band, you know, and listen to you all, everybody's got their own little sonic place, you know, and
right,
you can really kind of hear everything. It almost, I mean, it kind of gets like that Keith and Ronnie thing, you know, how they each had their own, their place in the band. It just carries it through.
Sure. Well, you know, that brings up like the most important point about guitar playing in general for me, electric guitar playing for sure, is, you know, the two guitar playing, the two guitar religion that, you know, ethos that is that I live by.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, playing by myself is not my favorite thing. It never was.
Yeah.
It's all about the two guitar relationship,
yeah,
the conversational two guitar thing happening that turns me on the most,
right,
you know? Yeah, and I grew up, the Rolling Stones are the band that inspired me to play guitar. And for them, it was always about the two guitars. It was never about one.
Right. It's so, just that huge sound where one's going this way and they're...
and at times you don't know who's playing what.
Yeah.
And when that's happening...
I don't know if those guys know who's playing what. Are they just like...
It's probably true.
I mean, it just fits, man. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
so...
like an instinctual thing. But that's kind of, you know, what I hear with you guys. You're just like... find your place.
Well, and it's song serving ultimately.
Yeah.
It's not about guitar.
No.
You know, it's what Chris was saying before. You know, it's not, we're guitar players, yes, and guitar geeks, definitely.
Yeah.
But it's a songwriting thing,
yeah,
and a singing thing too.
Right.
For us, for me, it's always been that way because I've written songs for so long. So, you know, I can solo a fair share and certainly, you know, get into some guitar-like spaces, but it's not my, you'll never see me doing the two guitar relationship,
yeah,
is what it's all about. And you kind of, and your sound will change according to your other guitar player,
right,
you know?
Right.
So it's, I don't live on an island. I don't live on Guitar Island.
Yeah.
I have to live with people around me,
yeah,
all the time. And my sound has to complement them.
Right.
You know? And that's all of these choices, pedals, guitars, amps, it's all relational. And that's something that we can forget when we're in our, when we're on our computers looking,
right,
you know, and we have to do that. You know,
yeah,
you have to find what equipment works and you have to watch these videos, and I do it all day long, but because I'm in a band that tours all the time, it always has to serve my friends here. You,
yeah,
know? So
yeah,
anyway, getting back,
yeah,
to that.
Yeah, getting back to all
Chase
these options.
Chase Bliss pedals are beautiful.
Right.
I have another pedal board being built right now that I have their Tonal Recall delay and their,
oh,
boom,
yeah,
tone phaser and their Spectre flanger, and they all have tap functions, which I find very useful.
Yeah, very cool.
Okay, so now we get to Cattle and Bread, who are good friends of mine, great pedal makers, and they were the first people over in this last 5 or 6 years of the dawning of the golden age of pedals that really embraced me and helped me build my boards, yeah. You know. So their Echo Rec Delay is beautiful. I think a lot of people have these now for good reason. It's just a fantastic sounding delay. I use it for a kind of wide atmospheric sound. I use it all night long. I also have their Montevillian Delay, which they don't make anymore, sadly. It's just kind of I just use it as a subtle delay. Gorgeous sounding, kind of dark, mysterious sounding delay that doesn't get in the way of my sound when I'm playing.
Sure.
There's the Bell Epoch Delay, which I think goes after the the Echoplex thing. I use it for a short delay. Beautiful sounding. This is another Catlin Bread pedal, the Octopussy. It's it's an octave fuzz, kind of Octavia vibe, I guess. Just sounds awesome. And I have to be a little more careful about where I use that one, because it's...
This can really get away from you.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Yeah.
It's very powerful. That's where the volume knob and the onboard effects loop help control a pedal like that, but
right.
It's a great sound. Let's see, Catlin Bread. Well, I'm not going in order here at all. I've lost that.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Yeah, matter. Because it's all kind of routed through this anyway. So
yeah, that's right. Another Catlin Bread, the Topanga Reverb, just a sweet sounding spring reverb that I leave on almost all the time, as well as this compressor. I almost never turn that off. And moving back to some Earthquaker devices stuff, this is this is called an Arpanoid, which is this, I don't think that I use this thing very intelligently, but it does a really cool thing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an arpeggiator pedal, which I think could be used more musically than I do. But
cool. What is that called?
It's called the Arpanoid. It's a really, really cool sounding thing.
That's too cool.
Yeah,
there's no describing that. You really have
to hear. When things are really loud, and sometimes I put fuzz on that, it can just be a shocking kind of palate cleansing effect.
Yeah.
If you're in a jam that you can't find your way out of, just hit that and it'll kind of reboot your entire world. So,
yeah, great. Very cool.
Yeah, and another Earthquaker pedal, the Grand Orbiter Phaser. Beautiful sounding phaser. Phases are tough for me, you know. They tend to affect your signal significantly. A lot of times negatively for me. The Grand Orbiter is, along with the Chase Bliss womb tone phaser, those two are just very clean, transparent sounding phasers. The other cool thing about this one is that you can turn it into a vibrato as well.
Oh, cool.
So, you know. Oh, wait, I'd probably have to. I have to turn it on, right?
Oh, yeah. That's great.
So that's cool.
Yeah, great crazy tone.
Yeah, but you know, it just does a normal sounding phase as well.
Yeah,
so that's
great.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell here, but in context, it's... it does the right thing. And then moving to another great group of pedal builders, Strymon. You know, everyone knows Strymon,
sure.
El Capistan, all their, the Timeline, all their great
yeah.
pedals. On this board, I have the Orbit Flanger, which I'm sure the Strymon guys, if they see this, will just be incredibly upset to see that I've taken some vitamin water bottle caps and glued them to the knob so I can make my own expression pedal.
So you can kind of kick it with your feet?
Yeah.
That's great. All right.
And also the Strymon Lex is the only Leslie simulator that I've found that's it's my favorite by far.
Let's hear it.
Sure. Because that's it's also a tough thing to wrangle, you know,
right.
Getting the Leslie thing right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and for me... And you can also slow it down as well, so...
Yeah, cool. Kind of ramps up and
right,
down.
Right, so being able to control the speed of the Leslie sound is really crucial. There.
Yeah, that's huge.
And finally, the Switch Hazel box is made by Divided by 13, and it gives, well, there's a tuner out, so that's nice.
Yeah.
And there's a, you can combine the two channels on the amp.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, or you know, just A/B them. And there's also a something called a lift in that box, which is a boost, which sounds really nice too, that I use quite a bit. So that is my pedal board, and the a couple other things are cables. You know.
Oh yeah.
We all are discovering, which I never knew before, how important quality cables are. They actually make a huge difference in your sound. Yeah, so a guy named Kid Candelario, who worked for the Grateful Dead for almost 30 years, kind of from beginning to end.
Wow.
A good friend of ours in Northern California, he makes our cables for us.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, and they're as high quality as you can get, and they make a massive difference in everything. So that's another thing. And lastly, for me, I've recently got turned on to these blue chip guitar picks.
Huh.
And a friend of mine said you should try these. They make a huge difference. And I kind of looked at them like, really?
Yeah.
And you know what? The guy was right. And now I'm sort of addicted to these blue chip picks.
Wow, that's what happens,
and
right?
And they really do. Yeah, when you get down to your details, it makes a difference. So there you go.
Yeah, that's great. Great. Well, Neil, man, I know you guys are fixing to hit it pretty soon.
Yeah, we're getting ready to sound check here.
But thank you so much,
man.
What a pleasure.
Yeah.
Till next time.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.